Hi, I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are part of Bell Street,
who are an events band and
production company. And we're here talking about our fun and failures
on our journey from being scared to just doing it anyway.
And today we have a very cheesy episode for you with our special guest,
Carolyn Hopkins,
who runs an excellent business selling cheese.
Not only does she sell cheese, she also is very experienced within the theatre and wonderfully creative. And so we're going to have a chat about her journey over the last few years with cheese and the theatre.
It's going to be an educational one again. Bell Street just taking you to school every week at the minute. So there is a new word this week as well.
There is.
So look out for that one.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome to our podcast this week. And today we are talking with the wonderful Carolyn Hopkins, who is the owner of the Truckle Truck.
Truckle Truck.
Truckle
Try truck. Saying that after a few drinks.
I get a lot of different versions.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like what?
The best one I had was the Turtle Truck, which was the chap who supplied my chiller. Why are you keeping turtles in a chiller?
Yes.
No, Spencer.
But for those who do not know what the Truckle Truck is, please tell us.
The Truckle Truck is a travelling cheese shop. They sell all sorts of British and European cheeses and things to go with cheese.
Lovely. And how long have you had the Truckle Truck van?
It actually arrived 6 years ago tomorrow.
Because it's hard to miss the Truckle Truck. But if no one's seen it, describe it, because it's different.
It's a 1969 Citroen H van, which is one of the ones with the corrugated sides. It's sort of bright turquoisey, tealy blue, with a big yellow rooftop sign.
So you're the dry one at the market.
It's never completely dry. I get very wet feet.
Aww.
Including when I'm driving.
The Truckle Truck is very popular. Everyone around the area here does seem to know. We've sung in it.
We have. That was one of our favourite gigs. We talked about it in season one.
Did you? Mm-hmm.
The gig where we had 300 to 500 people, depending on when we're how we're telling the story. We did sing. It was the smallest venue at the Fringe, wasn't it?
It was. Very, very tiny. Yeah. A little bit too tiny, really.
Tell us how you ended up with your Truckle Truck, because previous to that, you were working in town.
Yes. I worked at and eventually managed the deli that used to be next to the Grosvenor Turnbulls. Mm-hmm. And when we announced that was closing, I knew I wanted to keep doing cheese, but buying a shop and buying an existing business was just so expensive. And I knew I'd spend all my time in the office or in the kitchen, and I wanted to be selling cheese to people. So decided a market stall, and it just sort of grew into a van, into a really expensive old van.
So what was your first like market experience? Did you just have a table and two cheeses, or what?
No, I went straight into doing it in the van.
Did you?
Yep. jumped in with every possible foot.
Do you call the van anything?
She's called Susie.
I thought Susie.
Aww. Yes, got to have a name.
How did you find Susie?
Susie actually came from a dealer over in Horsham.
And did you do her? Because did you do her up yourself? Was she already turquoise? Or
no, the colour was chosen. I chose the colour.
Yeah,
which was quite. It was almost the most nerve wracking bit, because the conversion's fairly standard to put in the hatch and all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but the colour, you look at it online, the particular colour charts they use for vehicles, and the same colour code is quite different.
Right.
Across different screens and different sites, and you look at it and think, I hope it's going to be right.
Yeah.
And it turned up, and that's perfect.
Oh.
Absolutely loved it.
And why truckle?
A truckle is a name for a whole cheese.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Lesson of the day.
Lesson of the day.
Use it in your pub quiz.
Yes.
Did you do it yourself? Or?
Yeah, all the kit and sort of basically having worked at Turnbull's, I knew sort of how the layout needed to be inside.
Okay.
And got to practice with someone else's shop. Which is a big advantage. If anyone's looking to set up a business, go and learn how to do it from someone else first.
But I know you said having a shop, you wouldn't want to be in the kitchen all the time, and you'd end up being in the office. But you are doing it all yourself.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
So you must love it.
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't mind the office bit and the prep stuff and the...
No, I mean, the prep stuff, there isn't really prep. Mm-hmm. Sort of cutting cheese and stuff. But
just get your truckles.
Just get my truckles. Okay. Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, the beginning of the week is when I'm dealing with deliveries and doing the paperwork and the admin, and it's very deliberately kept, so I've got time to do that. Yeah. And then the rest of the week I'm selling cheese.
And what got you into cheese?
I was just going to say that. Like, where was Minnie... Was Minnie you just like, cheese, macaroni? No.
When I was starting up a cheese business, my family were like, what do you mean you're starting? You hate cheese. Before I started at Turnbull's, I didn't like cheese.
Really?
Because I'd never had good cheese.
Okay.
I'd had what we could get in, you know, growing up in Gillingham with bit of Gateways. Red Leicester. Yeah. A bit of nasty, horrible Red Leicester.
Yeah.
Which was just
or a cheese
nice.
Slice.
Yeah. Mm. That was, you know, my Christmas cheese growing up was the Bavarian smoked. You remember that?
That was fancy, though. I remember those coming out, really, and they were fancy. Sainsbury's had mini ones.
Yeah.
And
it was something with a cranberry in it.
Oh, yes. Very fancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that was it. That was the experience of cheese I had. Mm-hmm. And then I took a Christmas job at Turnbull's. I was supposed to be there 3 months. Mm-hmm. And Charlie, being Charlie, was like, everyone has to taste the cheese.
Charlie's the owner of...
Charlie Turnbull was the owner of the business.
Okay.
And it was just this discovery. And I remember tasting
a piece
of
cheddar. Learning along with everybody.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I assumed you'd been obsessed with cheese forever.
No. But that 3 months turned into 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So it was.
Yeah.
It was a long learning curve.
But it is funny how life throws you into, not necessarily cheese for everyone, but into a new direction. Because, I mean, we work with you at the local theatre, and you've had training in all of that sort of side of things. And... Yeah. You always have all these brilliant creative ideas. They're like, yeah, we can make that work. We can make that work. Where people are like, really?
You are a creative problem solver.
Yes. So, and then on the other side, there you are with your cheese.
Because I studied theatre design.
Yeah.
And that was, graduated the Christmas or the year before.
And where did you study?
In South Wales, Carmarthen.
Because I know you under a props guise, not disguise. Was it? Did you kind of specialise? And why didn't you go into theatre? Too many questions now. I just assumed you were cheese forever.
Cheese in many ways. it was everything. It was costume. It was props. It was set design. It was set building. It was lighting, sound. Absolutely everything.
Right.
By the time I graduated, I didn't want anything to do with it anymore.
Really?
Yeah. There was this, a lot of our lecturers were, you know, theatre professionals who were coming in to do a guest sort of semester. And there's this real feeling of apathy. We'll just do the easy thing.
Right. And why do you think that is?
I sort of get it because it's a job and it's, you know, you've got budgets and you've got to fit a lot of shows in.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to enjoy it and say, no, let's go that extra step.
Yeah.
Let's have water dripping from the ceiling.
Yes.
It's have smoking crystal balls.
So that was something you were really passionate in, I assume, up until that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then really just other people's apathy killed it.
I was just like, I don't want to do this. If I'm doing it, I want to be able to push it and say, let's do the thing that's the most exciting.
Yeah.
And the most interesting.
And you didn't feel like trailblazing your way into the industry and being that, no.
No. No.
Fair enough.
But then 15 years before I went backstage in theatre again.
Let's go into your What would you call it? Would you call it a hobby?
Yeah.
Hobby or I don't know. You're too good at it for it to be a hobby. But I guess no one pays you for it.
No one pays me for it.
How did you get back into that?
I'd sort of been thinking about it for a while.
Yeah.
And just when I was at Turnbull's, it wasn't practical. I never knew what time I'd finish. Okay. I thought it'd be 6:30, 7 o'clock before I finished at work. And I couldn't then go and do shows and rehearsals and stuff. It all sort of all came at once. We had a difficult time as a family. We lost my sister and then my mum a year later.
Right.
And then we closed the shop a couple of years after that. Mm. So it all sort of came at once and it was just, I need to do something. And suddenly I have my evenings free. Mm. And it felt really natural to us. Yeah, let's get back into doing theatre.
So now you're back into it. Mm. Do you feel differently about it? Well, obviously you do because you're still doing it and you're doing it for free.
It's fun again.
Okay.
And that, I think, is what I'd lost studying it. It wasn't fun anymore.
And being able to Now, I say being able to come in and out of it and dip your toe in and out. I mean, you can't, because everyone asks you to be the props lady to do this, that. But yeah. There is that essence, I guess, being a volunteer to say, actually, no, I can't. And pick the projects that you want to do. Or say that I've only got this limited time. But it's quite intense if the theatre or performance, we find, like when we're doing a show and we're all in, and a few days later, after, it's like, okay.
It's that sort of crash and afterwards, isn't it?
No one speak
for a bit.
Whenever Susan and I have finished a project, there's just radio silence for 3 or 4 days. And thankfully, it seems to be quite mutual. Yeah. It's not that we're annoyed with each other.
Yeah.
It's just
brain capacity.
And that is the nice thing about the way it works here, is it's not show. It's 4 a year, maybe a couple of little extra ones.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of downtime in between,
which
is lovely.
But you're actually going into directing.
I am, next year.
Next year as well.
Yeah. Well, it all starts off in November.
Is this the first time you will have directed anything?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. All terrified.
So another list.
Yes. It's a bit, here we go.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. And that's on in the spring, that sort of...
It is, yeah. Yeah. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Yeah, which no one can pronounce.
No one can pronounce. No. I'm thinking about running a sweepstake among the crew and cast of the most unusual, bit like the Truckle Truck.
Yes.
So unusual variation.
How many turtles can you have in the play?
So what... Is it just... Do you feel like it's just another natural step from being so involved with other productions? Or is it something you're really passionate about? Or?
I think when I was a student, I sort of wanted to do a bit of directing. And it just never happened. And then it just, it feels like actually, I'm settled enough at the Arts Centre now. And it's time to do something else, to do something different.
So what do you feel about the difference between... So obviously you're a very creative person, amazing artist, really kind of really out-of-the-box thinker as well. Running your own business takes up so much headspace, much time. Can you talk a bit about the balance between the two of those things? Because obviously the Amdram props directing side of things also takes up a lot of time as well.
I think because they're so different, it naturally becomes a break for each other.
Yeah.
So when I'm needing a break from the theatrical side, I'll go and sell cheese. I need a break from selling cheese. Oh, I can do some creative stuff.
With the Truckle Truck, you go quite far and wide. Well, depending on how far Susie will take you.
No, it takes us a long time to get anywhere.
Okay.
Our top speed's about 40. 45 downhill, so it's...
But you go further afield, you do judging of coffee and things.
Yes. Yeah, I judge for the Great Taste Awards.
Okay.
Which is good fun. Mm-hmm. And that's... Sort of...
What categories do you judge?
Oh, everything.
Oh, really?
Absolutely everything, except sort of tea and... That sort of stuff.
Is that by choice?
Yeah.
You're like, I'll do anything. Anything but tea.
Anything but tea. And plant-based. Because they're getting more
and more
special.
How did you get involved in that?
Again, Turnbull's. Charlie knows the people who run the Guild of Fine Foods and got me some time judging. And that's just carried on.
Brilliant.
And I've been very lucky twice to do the World Cheese Awards.
Oh, wow.
Which is great.
The World Cheese Awards. Awards.
Yeah.
I feel you need a sash.
World Cheese Awards. I've got a little pin badge.
Okay.
But
that's okay. Badge is better than nothing.
So. Where are the World Cheese Awards
held? They move. And I've done it once in Newport in Wales. It was supposed to be in Ukraine that year.
Oh.
And it was was last year.
Oh, okay.
Year before, sorry.
Okay.
And they had to sort of move it at the last minute and Wales stepped in. And then once in Italy.
Very nice.
Which was quite fun. So flown out.
It's just like the World Cup for cheese.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
And I've never seen so many cheeses in a room. 4,000 cheeses.
Did it smell?
Yes.
Brilliant.
People walk up to the truck and said, "It smells amazing. I can't smell it." When I walked into that hall with those cheeses, I could smell it. Oh, this is what I've been missing. This is lovely.
Of course, locally, we do have on Gold Hill, running up the hill.
Cheese race, yes.
What do they
with
do?
A truckle.
With a truckle.
With a truckle.
Now we can use the right word.
Do you have a lot to do with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, sort of come back to it this year.
Okay.
As part of the food festival.
Yes.
Because it was originally Charlie's idea.
Mm.
He started it, and then I hold the cheeses.
So you're like a disciple. You've been converted. And now you're an evangelist.
Of cheese.
And a leader of cheese.
I just wonder if we should all get more involved with the cheese industry.
In the
cheese church. The Church of Cheese.
The Church of Cheese. Church of Cheese. That sounds like a good name for a cheese shop, doesn't it? If you had an old converted chapel.
That's
the
Church of
Cheese. Yeah. You better do that quick, because at least 30 people listen to this podcast.
I would not go back into Brixton Norton now.
No?
Having done the truckle truck. Even on a day like today, when it has been utter, as you said earlier, biblical rain in bonkers, I wouldn't go back into having a bricks and mortar shop. Too complicated. Mm. You've got to deal with.
Yeah.
Much as I love them, staff.
Yes.
Who are great, but also the biggest headache. You
can people are difficult.
Yeah. People have a lot of conflicting interests.
Yes.
And it falls to the manager to try and balance. And it's bad enough when it's three or four people, when it's a dozen people.
So you enjoy being a solo team, yes. You and Susie.
Yeah.
A lone cheese seller.
Yeah. Cheesemonger.
Cheesemonger. Sorry.
Cheesemonger. Occasionally Ollie. Lovely Ollie comes and helps out at Christmas.
And tell us about Pepe.
So Pepe is Susie's mini-me. It's a miniature version of the H-van. It's brilliant. I'll give you the picture of the two together. And it's sort of as a backup for Susie, because she does occasionally need a bit of work. She's 55 years old.
Yeah, she needs a break.
She needs a break from time to time. And in trying to deal with hiring a van every week when that was happening was A, really expensive, and B, hugely stressful, dashing around at the last minute to try and find a hire van.
Mm.
So I decided I need something that was on brand as a backup.
Yeah.
And so I had this commissioned, this little miniature H-van. But it also does raclette and tartiflette. Which is...
I know what raclette is, awesome. But tell everybody.
So
Melty cheese.
Yes.
What is tartiflette?
Tartiflette. There is a way to say this, which is tartiflette.
Tartiflette.
Perfect. And they're sort of very classic Alpine French Swiss dishes. And the tartiflette is potatoes, bacon and onions with cheese.
Amazing.
And most wonderful face.
Oh.
And it is just—it's pure comfort food.
Mm.
It's
absolutely. I was going to say that's hangover. Yeah. That's I feel sad. Yeah. That's comfort.
Cozy night in.
Been skiing and fallen over and broken limbs and just feel. Yeah. Eat tartiflette and feel better.
Tartiflette.
Is that the name of the podcast?
Make you tartiflette.
Tartiflette.
So that was obviously your kind of solution to Susie's breakdowns that she has.
Yeah.
So, do you see? Oh, no, because you said you like to work by yourself. I was just wondering, do you see, like, having an empire of, like, vans, quirky vans with names?
I don't know, because my brother has always said, you've got to franchise it. And I don't want to.
Mm.
Do you know what? It puts a roof over my head. I'm really happy with the business. I don't want it to grow and be this huge thing that I end up back in the office all the time managing it all. I want to be out there.
Because people have said that to us before. I know we don't do the cheese, but people have said that you could you as Bell Street, you know, you the ideal obviously for you guys is to then create another Bell Street that can be in other places, and which is kind of quite a good business idea. But the thought for us of going, oh no, but then it won't be us. It's just interesting, isn't it? Because it's people's go-to. What do you think makes, I mean, apart from the fact that it's like this gorgeous, beautiful truck, makes your truckle truck different to the other cheese people that's trying to get us to buy cheese?
I think a lot of it is the relationship you get with the market people. You know, through the markets, it's much more relaxed than a shop. And you build up a real friendship with a lot of customers. And I had a lady who, when I started the truckle truck, had never come into Turnbull's, or was coming at Christmas and never again. And she was coming and buying cheese. And I sort of said, what's changed? What's different? And she said, it's less intimidating.
Mm.
Which is lovely, because then people are coming and saying, oh, I've never tried cheese. Mm. Or like, you know, really basic cheddar. That's fine. We'll try this.
Because you can relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's lovely seeing people sort of coming in and trying cheese and then getting more adventurous and trying different cheeses and trying blue cheese for the first time and liking it.
Okay, so what is your gateway cheese to cheese? And then what's your kind of step up from your gateway? Mm. What's the path?
The path.
If someone wants to become like you and be a cheese connoisseur.
Expert. Yes.
It's That's a really difficult question.
What? But if someone came up to your came up to you and a thingy and was like, well, I don't really I've only really had like, was you 13 the very years smoked. Ago?
Yes.
What would you be like? Well, just why don't you just try this? What would you recommend to them?
I mean, there's things like Dorset Red, which is a smoked. It's quite strongly smoked, but it's quite sweet, so that works. There's a German blue called Montagnolo, which is super, super gentle and really rich.
People get scared about blue cheese a lot, don't they? And I can imagine there's some really lovely, lovely mild
gorgeous ones, yeah.
That it's just getting over the hurdle of what it looks like.
Yeah. And it, like. I love it as well, that thing of it's mouldy. So it's fine, it's good mould, but it's mouldy. But I do remember the very first event I did, which was called Cheese Fest.
Yes.
And it was ticketed. So you had to buy tickets to come into this hangar, massive, massive warehouse. And this couple came by and they tasted some Montagnolo. And he had been adamant that he didn't like blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
They bought tickets to come back the next day to come and buy some.
Oh, really?
Conversions.
Yes.
You see? That's what we like.
If someone was going to do something, not necessarily with cheese, but create a moving business, they wanted to take a leap, what would you advise them to do?
Or what the biggest asset of being mobile is flexibility.
Mm.
You've got, you know, with a bricks and mortar shop, you have your locals and your catchment area. But the advantage of mobile business is that catchment area is grown for every town. But you've got to put in the time to build that up.
Yeah.
You've got to put in the time going to that market every single week. You can't just go there when the weather's nice.
Yeah, so like consistency.
Yeah. And you've got to be willing to accept the days when no one turns up.
Mm.
And then just keep pushing at it and pushing at it. And then people will... Oh, it's market day, it's cheese day, it's scone day. I know somebody's setting up a business doing tea and scones.
Okay. So. Yeah, because people then are like expecting.
Yeah. And you are saying to people, you know, don't go to a shop when it's convenient for you. Wait until the day on the market.
And then they get upset when you're not there.
Yes.
That's what you have to give them heads up, don't you? But
which is sort of part of the reason for Pepe as well.
Okay.
Because previously when Susie's been off the road, I've had a yellow gazebo, big bright yellow gazebo, and some tables, and people would walk past and they come back the next week and say, oh, you weren't here. I said, yes, I was.
Because that's good branding then on your part,
having that,
because you've really thought about your brand and now people just associate it with you.
Yes, and that's occasionally the downside of
yes, but it shows you've done a good job.
Oh, the guys who did the branding were brilliant.
Mm.
Really lovely local people. And just they sort of said, find, you know, give us a brief, find five brands that you like, and you know, tell us what you want to include. And I said, I had to try this brand, try that brand, that brand. And they came back and said, we've got some ideas. And we sat down, we went through them. And I thought, it's nice. That's nice. That's nice. A lot of money. And they said, we've got one that doesn't fit with your brief at all. And they put it down and said, that's it.
Really?
They absolutely nailed it.
How interesting.
Because I'd said something quite sort of elegant and refined. And actually, the van doesn't fit elegant and refined. There's nothing elegant, Susie, refined about a 1969 H van.
But that's funny how you can get caught up. I think we've found it with some things. You get caught up with what you think you want. You sort of see a vision. And then when it's not showing up as you see it, it becomes frustrating, doesn't it? But and then someone probably taking your essence of actually what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we could see that. That's nice.
Yeah,
that's a bit more original.
The professionals in, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you want to give them a shout out? Are they still doing it?
They are still doing it. They are Beeson and Beeson, and they're based in Stour Provost.
So what would you say, like, if you could jump back in time and give 6 years ago you, like, two pieces of advice, what would you forewarn yourself of?
It's almost slightly conflicting, because there is that thing we spoke about just now of, yes, you need to be consistent and you need to do lots of events, but it's also don't be afraid to say no to events, which is also actually with the Arts Centre as well, don't be afraid to say no. Don't have to say yes every single time.
You have to learn that the hard way, though, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to burn out.
Yes. You have to reach that point of just saying, nope, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you decide what you say no to now?
I think with the benefit of trading for a while, it's saying the types of events that work.
Yeah.
And when I started, I thought food festivals, that will be where the money is. Mm-hmm. The markets will be fine, but you know, food festivals will be the bones of the business. And they're not. Right. With the exception of Shaftesbury, which is, I have a long history. Yeah. But yeah, I rarely make a profit at a food festival. So then it's choosing the festivals that are fun.
Okay.
So it's got to have something other than just, it's a food festival.
And you do better at those kind of things?
I don't know any better, but it's more enjoyable. Yeah.
Excellent.
As long as I cover my costs and I have a good time doing them.
Yeah.
And what sort of time do you start your Christmas stuff and ordering?
So first delivery arrived today of not cheese, just of chutneys and biscuits and stuff. Yeah.
Because we've just started our Christmas opening, like our set to relook from last year, which, well, it doesn't feel early to us, but it does feel early when you say it to anyone else. But as any business looking forward.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of food, you start in February. Mm. You look back at the previous, at the Christmas just gone, when it's fresh in your mind, and you say, what worked, what didn't work? Oh, maybe that didn't work actually because there was another reason rather than that product line needing to go.
Who do you reason things out with? Do you just keep it all in your head?
Pretty much.
Like, have a nice little chat with you and Susie. Yes, yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
That would drive me crazy.
I talk to the man, I talk to the cat.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. What's your cat called?
Leo. Mm,
Susie and Leo.
He was a rescue cat, so we didn't name him.
Oh. And do you have a favourite cheese?
It changes.
Okay.
About every 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. What's your current, this season?
Current one.
Current for October. As well, but this will, well, this will be going out probably November.
Oh, okay.
You can't know what your current one for November would be, but...
It's a fairly good guess. It will be Vacheron, because it's a seasonal cheese, so it starts October. So it will still be in the first flush of
how is it seasonal? Just in terms of its ripeness?
It's only made through the winter months.
Oh, right, okay.
Because in the summer, the cows are up high in the pastures, in the mountain pastures. And it's called transhumance. They move, their families move up there with them. And then in the winter, they move down into the valley, where it's less, you know, snowy and cold and horrendous.
Mm-hmm. So and they make different cheeses. I like that it's exclusive.
Yeah.
Exclusive for
the winter months. The winter.
Oh, that's cool. What's it called again?
It's called Vacheron Mondor.
We're going to have to try and spell all these.
Yes.
Touchyclet. No, that's...
I'm sorry?
No, that's a mixture between raclette and...
We didn't actually get onto the name of...
And something else.
The name of that business, which is Filthy Cheese, which you just took to the extreme.
Well, there you are. Raclette and the...
Tartiflette.
Tartiflette and... What's that last one was?
Raclette. Oh, no, and Vacheron. Vacheron Mondor.
Vacheron Mondor.
We'll get them by November.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for educating us.
Yes, you're
so
welcome. Thank you.
And I'm just hungry now.
Oh, I should have brought cheese.
Well, we really hope you enjoyed that. Thank you so much to Carolyn for speaking to us and educating us.
Yes, we certainly know a lot more about cheese and vans.
Yes.
So, we hope that you took away some of that knowledge as well and that you'll go and visit her and go and buy some Christmas cheese.
Yes. But meanwhile, if you're thinking about making a change or jumping in with all the feet you have, cut yourself a nice slice of something soft and just do it anyway. I want a Bell Street cheese now.
What would that be like? It's like it used to be a Bell Street cocktail, so now it's Bell Street cheese.
Yeah. Well, we often do just have cheese for lunch.
Nothing wrong with that.
And a pork pie.
Cheese and pork pie. I like the soft cheese. Are you soft cheesy?
Yeah.
It would be a soft cheese probably. Mm.
I like really soft and lush, but with a little line of really spiky blue.
Okay. Yes, probably. To represent the eyebrow or the nostril flare.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent.
I've seen that.
You can come to our Bell Street Christmas party and bring
some tasters.
Bring some tasters.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't sound very generous to say. You may come and
bring us cheese board. No, it's fine. We'll fund it, but bring us a selection.
There is a cheese called Rebel Nun.
What's that? Is that really smelly?
Yeah.
I feel like it would be. Mm.
Yes. Exceptionally smelly. And it used to be you walk into the old cheese room and you open the door, it smelled like bacon.
Mm. I don't mind bacon.
It doesn't taste like bacon, but it smells like bacon.
That's just disappointing. Because if Dolly Parton can have a Prosecco.
Yeah.
And Gary Barlow's got one. I mean, he's got wine. Graham Norton's got wine.
He's got wine, Kylie's
Has
got
anyone
wine.
Got cheese? Apart from the Laughing Cow?
Oh, God, what's his name? From Blur.
Oh, yes. Damon Albarn?
He does.
No, not Damon Albarn.
That's the only one I know.
Alex James.
Okay. Has he got celebrity cheese?
He makes, well, his estate makes cheese.
Okay. So. Oh, we need an estate. That's the problem. Okay, we'll work on it.